It says on salvation on the board here. You know, everybody's responsible for their own salvation, really. And I don't know how you get around it, but every time one person missing, I just kept thinking in my mind, why are they not here? It bothers me if one of them is out. And I say, well, it's not my responsibility. But yet it bothers me. I try to put it out of my mind. I try not to think about it. But yet I keep thinking about it, and it bothers me. Every time I look up or see that you're not here, and I say, well, and my wife reminds me, you're more absent than anybody else because I go other places. And that kind of bothers me too. So I don't know what solution to that is, but I do know this, that the Bible teaches that you are responsible for your own salvation. We're going to look at that this morning. A person is responsible. I'm going to try to do this so you make sure you can hear me. I also know that we're getting older and we don't hear as well. We have many people that don't hear as well, myself included. So I'm going to try to use this today. On salvation, Paul talks about it. He says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Do we fear that we're going to lose our soul? Do we fear that we're not obeying God? Are we working out our salvation? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You're responsible. You're responsible for your soul. God holds you accountable. He holds me accountable. He holds me accountable for my life and my soul. He holds us accountable. Salvation is indeed a personal matter. Our salvation comes one at a time, based on us and our response to God. Hebrews 10:31 says, a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You know, the Bible talks about how love casts out fear. But on the other hand, we better fear God. Matthew 10:28, it says, not to fear him and destroy the soul body, destroy the body, rather fear him and destroy both body and soul in hell. We better fear God. And so we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, realizing God has a power in your life, give you life, take away life eternal. God is a all-powerful being. I need to respect that. What does a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what should a man give in exchange for a soul? Jesus pointed out how valuable your soul is. There's nothing you can own. There's nothing you can have. They'll be more valuable than the soul that you are. You think about that soul spending eternity in hell and punishment and anguish, or that soul spending eternity in bliss and comfort with God. Most valuable thing we have. So what would a man give in exchange for a soul? Some, it seems to be very little. So we look at Matthew 7 is a book that's warning us about our soul. You think about following God with fear. We need to be careful how we judge. He says in Matthew 7:1, judge not that you be not judged. Sometimes people are so afraid to judge, they don't judge anything. That's not what God Christ means by that. For what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Be careful that we judge right. That we judge others rightfully. And you say you don't judge others? Yes, you do. Everybody does. You make judgments based on what you know or what you see. Matthew 7:6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast it your pearl before swine, lest they trample them under their foot and turn again and rend you. So you got to make a judgment. Is this a dog? Is this a swine? Or is this somebody that can receive the pearls of life that can be taught and they understand. You have to make judgments. But be careful about the judgment you make. Matthew 7:12. Therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now there's the way to judge. And that's the way you do. Do to people the way you want them to do to you. Would you want someone to let you lose your soul and not give you a warning? Would you want somebody to come up and steal your car and you not be warned and they know they're going to happen? Remember, your soul is the most valuable thing you have. Then he said, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few be there to find it. So you better be thinking and judging about which is the right way. As we think about it today, we got all kinds of churches around us, we got all kinds of beliefs. We've got to make judgment. Which one's right? Which one's wrong? We have to make judgments. Because many kind of get things confused, mix things up, so it's hard to tell what's right and what's wrong. We have to judge, is this a straight way that leads to life? Or is it not? Is it the wide way that leads to destruction? And then again in Matthew 7:15 says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not what they say, but what they do. By their fruits. So we have to make a judgment. What kind of fruit is being borne by this preacher, teacher, prophet, or whatever you want to call it, or person? What kind of fruits are they bringing forth? And by the fruits we can know. We have to beware and judge that we do not get confused, that we're not deceived, and we not be lost. Be careful. Jesus said, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say in that day, have I not done many wonderful works? And he said, then when I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you work iniquity. Beware. Beware what we do. Are we doing the Father's will? Or are we not? Be careful. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Be careful. Then make sure that you're doing God's will, not your will, not somebody else's will. Are we doing God's will? To do God's will, we have to know what it is. You have to understand the teachings of Jesus Christ. We need to fear that this is not you or me. That we claim to do God's will, but we're not. We're doing wonderful works, but they are not his. Lest he say to him, depart from me, you work iniquity. Matthew 7:24, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken to a wise man which built his house upon the rock. If you do God's will, the saying of Jesus Christ, your life will be founded on a rock, a solid rock, on the rock of Christ. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be like a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. You know, the guy built a house on the sand that didn't stand. The winds came and storms beat on it and it failed, and great was the fall of it, or terrible was the fall of it. You know, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all of them that obey him. For Jesus Christ must be obeyed. be careful that we're obeying him and not something else or somebody else. Because our salvation is based on obedience to Jesus Christ. John 8:24, Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe that I'm not that I'm he, you should die in your sins. I have to make sure I believe, and you have to make sure you believe. That's a decision you make, not me, not anybody else. I can tell you about it. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes and should not perish. I can tell you all that stuff. I can tell you Christ came to this earth and died for your sins. But I can't make you believe. That belief has to come from within you in your own heart. Isaiah 55:3 says, incline your ear, come unto me here, and I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercy of David. So you have to come to hear. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You have to come to hear the word and decide you believe it. That's up to you. Work out your salvation. Fear and trembling. Jesus, I say your name, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. I can't repent for you. You can't repent for me. It's our own repentance that we must do in our own life. It's up to you. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's what Paul was told them. You know, they had the words, these words written for them. They had the gospel delivered to them. And it's up to them to work it out. He said, Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore should confess before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will also deny before my Father which is in heaven. But be careful that we're not with the wrong crowd and then we deny the Lord. Are we with the right crowd and we do confess him? Do we confess him when it's not popular for us to confess him? Confess our faith in Jesus Christ. John 12:42 says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And that's where it gets down to. The confession of Christ. Are you going to confess him when you're not with people who have like-minded him confessing him? Do you love men's praise enough that you would deny Christ? Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believes unto salvation, for the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Again, this is something you must do, that I must do. I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. We have to work out our own salvation for fear and trembling. And Jesus said in Matthew 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Simple statement. But today there are many that would take that and twist that around. They say you can believe and you'll be saved. They don't say you can be by baptism. But you know you can't be saved without baptism, neither can you be saved without belief. It takes both of them together. In fact, we'll see that the Christians that believe were baptized every time. Then Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. From this point on in the scriptures, every time someone is called a believer, there's someone who has been baptized. If they're not baptized, they're not called believers. They're non-believers. So belief and baptism are so connected. But you don't have one without the other. Take heed. Work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Make sure we're understanding things right. Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. So you can depart. But exhort one another daily when it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. That's an if-then statement. You have to hold that faith. You have to hold what you believe in and what has come about when you were baptized in Christ. Be careful we don't come up with an evil heart. You see, it's not once you're saved, always saved. You can be lost. Revelation 2:10 says, be thou faithful unto death, I'll give you a crown of life. He didn't say just be faithful and you get it. You got to hold on to it to the end. Jude 1:21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I can't do that for you. You can't do that for me. We have to keep ourselves. So we're working out our own salvation, you see. Keeping ourselves in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and where you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain. So you can not keep it in memory. You can lose what you once had. You can believe in vain. So be careful. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling all the way to the end of your life. 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring this objection, lest that by any means, while I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. The Apostle Paul himself was concerned about this matter. He brought himself under control so he would not be lost. You know, it's a possibility all the way down through life. That's why he said, be thou faithful unto death, even to the point of death. Because always a possibility. You let an evil heart come up in you and you turn away from your salvation. Paul said he could be a castaway. Acts 8:21. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Here's a man who heard the preaching of Philip. He was believed and he was baptized and he received that gift of the Holy Spirit, but soon afterwards he'd fallen away. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. I perceive that thou art in a gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. That man at that point was in a lost condition. Did he go get baptized again? No, he didn't. What Peter tell him? He told him to pray, to repent and pray. And then he asked Peter to pray for him in the next verse, Aaron 24. That is what we do. When we've wandered away, when we've fallen, when we slip, and we're about to lose our salvation, we better turn back to God and repent and pray that God will forgive you. The thoughts and intents of your heart, what you've done. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effects of fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This is the way for those of us that when we wander off, when we stumble and fail, when we're about to lose our salvation. And we better work about it and worry about it and have fear about it, because if you lose it, you may not ever get it back. You may not can get it back. But if we walk in the light, he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. That's how we stay cleansed, the blood of Christ. But walking in the light of his word, we have fellowship one with another, with Jesus Christ and with God and each other, and then the blood of Christ cleanses from all sins. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, making confession of fault, that's the way. And we read about Simon a while ago. He had fallen. He confessed and asked Peter to pray for him. But what if we don't? What if we don't confess? What if we are not worried about our salvation? What if we don't work it out with fear and trembling and we don't care about it too much? Second Peter 2:20 says, "For if after they've escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than at the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, and after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." It's a bad situation to get in. You know, you turn back to the world and entangle with the world and sin. It's better if it never happened. He says in 2 Peter 2:22, "But it's happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow is washed to her wallowing in the mire." You were cleansed by the washing of regeneration when you were baptized into Christ, and you were given the Holy Spirit, and now you've turned away from it and walked away from it, go back to the world. How terrible that is. That's why he's telling them, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Consider your life. Where are you going? What you doing? What's happening to you? Hebrews 6:4 says, "Impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come, if they should fall away. It's impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves to themselves the Son of God of grace and put him to an open shame." Be careful. Be careful about your salvation. Hold it as some special prize that is very valuable to you. And you would guard it with all your life. You need to guard that prize, that value, that gift of God for your salvation. Guard it and protect it. You don't lose it. That you don't let it slip. It gets away. Ephesians 1:13. "And whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." Let me point some things out on this. Some people use this verse to say that if you're saved, you're always saved. I think that's a misunderstanding because we've got too much scripture that says otherwise. It says you trusted after you heard the word of truth. So you heard the gospel preached to you, the gospel of your salvation, and you believed it. You were baptized when you believed. And there's no difference. If you believe, you were baptized and you received the promise of the Holy Ghost. It was an earnest to your inheritance. You know what earnest money is? If I'm going to buy a house, I put up some earnest money saying I'm going to buy it. I can change my mind. I may not buy it. But God puts up the Holy Spirit, a little bit of us in us, to live in us when we're baptized. And that's an earnest to the down payment that's going to come when you go to heaven. But, you know, earnest money doesn't always come true. There's a possibility that you fall away, that you decide you don't want it. You decide not to follow and keep it. You don't value it. You see, the scripture says, "And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also the Holy Ghost whom God has given to them that obey him." When you obey Christ in baptism, that's when you get the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 19 and Acts 2:38. When you were baptized, you were given the Holy Spirit. Peter said, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for remission of sins." That's when you're going to get it. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 19:1, there were some people that were misunderstood their baptism. They were baptized under John's baptism. They had to be rebaptized. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you were baptized? They said, we don't know so much as there is one. And so he had to rebaptize them so they would receive the Holy Spirit and understand. But, you know, one can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Spirit can, you can do despite to the Spirit that he puts in our life. And 1 Thessalonians 5:19 puts quite plainly, quench not the Spirit. How do you quench a fire? You put it out. He said, quench not the Spirit. You can put it out. You can grieve it, and you can do despite unto it to the point at which it will leave you, and you put it out. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Be concerned about your spirit. Now, things can go wrong at baptism. You know, you truly didn't believe. Sometimes people do it because of others. Jesus said in Mark 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. They go together. But maybe you didn't really have a full assurance of faith, and your baptism wouldn't have been given you the Holy Spirit. You have to truly believe. Like Eunice said, I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have to believe that deep down in your body and your life. Or perhaps you didn't repent. Sometimes people, you know, just because somebody says they repent don't mean they really did. Repentance brings about a change in life. I know a man that told me that baptism doesn't save him, and I said, how do you know that? He said, because I got baptized and the next day I was drunk. Where was the repentance? And he kept on drinking and drinking. If you do not repent, your baptism won't do any good. He said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. It's like believe and be baptized. They're connected. You don't have one part without the other. And so sometimes we do need to be rebaptized. But we didn't really believe, or we didn't repent. Sometimes we don't understand correctly. Those people in Acts 19, they didn't understand right. They had to be baptized again. Sometimes we're just too young. Matthew 28:19. He told them that all power given him in heaven and earth, go therefore teaching all nations. You have to be old enough to be taught. You have to be able to understand what it's all about. Therefore, we don't baptize infants. A person has to be old enough to understand and be taught so he can be baptized. What about your life today? It's your decision, not mine. And if you're here today and you need to make confession of fault, have the church pray with him for you. He promises that he will forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If you're here today and never been baptized in Christ, he promises that when you get baptized into Christ, we can have salvation. Galatians 3:27 says, for many of us have been baptized in Christ and put on Christ. That's how you get in. And that's where salvation is at. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way this morning, we give you opportunity. Opportunity to come and let it be known that we can help you in any way as we stand and sing.